Blog Talk Radio.
All right, good morning, ladies and gentlemen. We're just a little bit of difficulty here. It goes with you right now.
There is a watchman on the wall, bringing forth the written word of God to one and all. Are you getting ready? Will you stand or will you fall? Listen to the watchman on the wall. Listen to the watchman on the wall. Listen to the watchman on the wall.
Arise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. A new day has dawned. All over the earth, men and women are arising. It's time for the sons of God to awake. It is a day of justice, recompense, restoration, revival, and resurrection power.
Good morning and welcome to Fabulous Friday here on The Watchman. I'm Vincent Xavier, pastor of New Wine Ministries. Good to be with everyone today. It's good to be back home behind our microphones and everything should be normal. I want to share with you a dream that I had this morning, and I shared it with Patricia. She said, "Are you sure you want to share that on the air?" And I've been contemplating it and I believe it's important. And I've been doing a little research ever since I woke up this morning on what it is that God is showing. The dream was very real. I hope I'm wrong. I'm not much of a dreamer. I've had a few. And I think the latest one I had that was so active and real was the Joe Biden, Barack Obama connection. But the dream that Joe Biden won the election was really eerie. And again, I hope that was wrong. But something very serious in the dream that I shared, that I'm going to share with you this morning, that I had this morning. And let me give you a little preface, because these are the scriptures that I received this morning after sharing the dream with Patricia. I was just sitting down and I opened up the Bible and it just happened to say this: the locust plague. And I was thinking about the grasshopper invasion in Las Vegas. I didn't really study it that much. But this was all starred in my Bible. The locust plague was only a foretaste of the judgment to come in the day of the Lord. This is a timeless call to repentance with the promise of blessing. Just as the people faced the tragedy of their crops being destroyed, we too will face tragic judgment if we live in sin. But God's grace is available to us both now and in that coming day. And then also starred in my Bible was, like a destroying army of locusts, God's punishment for sin is overwhelming, dreadful, and unavoidable. When it comes, there will be no food, no water, no protection, and no escape. The day for settling accounts with God for how we have lived is fast approaching. Now, that's all just a little commentary before we actually start reading the book of Joel. And as we read it, I want you to understand what we're about to read in Joel chapter 1 is a tragedy on a number of different levels. Number one, the tragic judgment that did hit the nation, okay? And what was yet even more tragic is that the people that had been suffering because of the judgment didn't even understand what they were in. They were so overwhelmed with judgment, they were in a state of shock, it appears, that God would send the prophet Joel to wake them up to understand what they are involved with. And here's what it looks like. Now, can you imagine, you know, your life suddenly, you know, like Job, let's just say, let's use a positive example. One day, Job loses his kids, he loses his workers, he loses his land, his cattle. I mean, and what does he do? He sits silent for the longest period of time until his mouth is finally opened. There is a time where massive tragic judgment hits, and whether it's a nation, whether it's a individual, a family, there's a silence that's there. Well, the children of Israel in Joel's prophecy had been so overwhelmed by the judgment they were warned about that they couldn't reckon it all together in their minds. So here's the prophetic word to them. In Joel chapter 1, beginning in verse 2, "Hear this, ye old men, and give ear, all ye inhabitants of the land. Hath this been in your days, or even in the days of your fathers? Tell ye your children of it. Let your children tell their children, and their children another generation." And I believe we are the another generation, and that the children going all the way back in the economy of God are speaking to us today. And here's what they're telling them. "That which the palmer worm has left has the locust eaten. And that which the locust has left has the cankerworm eaten. And that which the cankerworm has left has the caterpillar eaten. Awake, you drunkards, and weep and howl, all you drinkers of wine, because of the new wine, for it is cut off from your mouth. For a nation has come up upon my land, strong and without number, whose teeth are the teeth of a lion, and he has the cheek teeth of a great lion. He has laid my vine waste and barked my fig tree. He has made it clean, bare, and cast it away. The branches thereof are made white." Notice again in this prophecy, it's not what's coming. This was already warned, but now it has come. And yet, what does he do in verse 5? "Awake, you drunkards." They were sound asleep. In other words, they were so overwhelmed, they were just drunk in the tragedy of the judgment that hit their world. It's kind of like going through an F5 tornado, I would imagine, or some kind of a massive hurricane or earthquake where you wake up and everything is gone. Well, it's time. The prophet is going forth, and he's trying to wake the nation up. And he says in verse 8, "Lament like a virgin girded with sackcloth for her husband of her youth. The meat offering, the drink offering is cut off from the house of the Lord. The priests, the Lord's ministers, mourn. The field is wasted, the land mourns, for the corn is wasted, the new wine is dried up, the oil languishes. Be ye ashamed, O ye husband. Men howl, you vine dressers, for the wheat and for the barley, because the harvest of the field is perished. The vine is dried up, the fig tree languishes, the pomegranate tree, the palm tree also, the apple tree, even all the trees of the field are withered, because joy is withered away from the sons of men." Do you notice that the call of the prophet to the people is awake up and be ashamed, because it is for your sin that these things have happened. It is for your sin that these things have happened. And then the call, verse 13, "Gird yourselves and lament, you priests. Howl, you ministers of the altar. Come, lie all night in sackcloth, you ministers of my God. For the meat offering and the drink offering is withholden from the house of your God. Sanctify ye a fast. Call a solemn assembly. Gather the elders and all the inhabitants of the land into the house of the Lord your God, and cry unto the Lord." Yesterday we were in Romans chapter 9, and that scripture said, "All who call upon the name of the Lord shall be delivered." So here again, the cry to the Lord. Verse 15, "Alas, for the day of the Lord is at hand, and as a destruction from the Almighty shall it come. Remember, tell it to a generation, Tell it to a generation, the day of the Lord is at hand. You cannot obstinately continue forward. You cannot continue to do what is evil. You cannot continue to blaspheme a holy God and worship idols and do the things that are done in the land. You cannot do it and think that the day of the Lord will never come. The day of the Lord will surely come. And we've already seen the four winds, and maybe in your own personal life as a Christian or a church where you've allowed things to go on that are ungodly, or you've changed the word of God, or you've participated in false doctrine or whatever. Well, it can't just keep going on. Eventually, there has to be a reckoning. So that's a call to wake up, be ashamed, fast, and pray, because the inevitability is coming. Verse 16 says, is not the meat cut off before our eyes? Yea, joy and gladness from the house of our God. The seed is rotten under the clods. The garners are laid desolate. The barns are broken down, for the corn is withered. How do the beasts groan? The herds of cattle are perplexed because they have no pasture. Yea, the flocks of sheep are made desolate. O Lord, to thee will I cry. For the fire has devoured the pastures of the wilderness. The flame has burned all the trees of the field. The beasts of the field cry also unto thee, for the rivers of waters are dried up, and the fire has devoured the pastures of the wilderness. Ladies and gentlemen, I know that you and I both desire the abundant blessing of our Father. We want to live in an environment where the rivers are full, where the rivers are pure, where the rivers are crystal clear, where the field is producing fruit, the trees have good fruit on them. We desire an environment like this, but that environment can only be cultivated through our worship to God. You see, when mankind sinned, things changed. The devil became very active, and he's very active today. And he's a legalist. He's the most brutal opponent in the courtroom of heaven that anybody has ever dreamed. He is a legalist to the degree. And when you and I do anything that is contrary or offensive to the word of God, most of the time, he doesn't even want us to know it. He wants to keep us blinded in those areas so he can continue to exploit some area of our lives to bring deficiency rather than the sufficiency of God. This requires an active diligence on our part to continue to examine our hearts daily to make sure that we are not entertaining anything that is not from the Lord. We've got to make sure that we're not sinning and not confessing it, just letting things go by. We can't have rotten attitudes. We can't be proud. We can't be jealous. We can't be lustful. We can't be anything other than what God has called us to be by the power of the Holy Spirit. And we've got to keep our hearts clean. We cannot afford the enemy to drop bad seed into the good soil of our hearts, because it will reproduce. Listen, whatever you put into good soil, it's going to reproduce. Whatsoever a man sows, he's going to reap. This is the principle of God. So we must be diligent farmers, active farmers, watching what's going into our hearts, okay? Because whatever comes in, it's going to come out. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And so this, to me, is very critical. And the amazing thing about the first part of that prophecy is that the people were so overwhelmed in judgment, they didn't even know it. They needed to be awakened. They needed to be ashamed. They needed to understand why they're in that condition. They needed to fast and pray, have a solemn assembly. They needed to understand that this destruction that was coming upon them, and it came even deeper in chapter 2. It comes even deeper. But what I would like to do at this time, and I do want to approach this cautiously, but here's the real deal. I had a dream just upon waking this morning, and something very unusual happened in the dream. When I dreamt, something happened, like begin to wake up or something from the dream, and I wanted to go back to sleep because I wanted to see further. And so I went back to sleep, and I picked up in a dream, but I was in a different environment, and I'll explain that. So in my dream last night, I'm in a really big church. I don't know whose church it was. Everybody was having a great time. There was a lot of hallelujahing going on, a lot of praising, a lot of amening. And, people were just having a great time. And I was preaching, and then all of a sudden, we're in a big, humongous outdoor mall. The place was huge. Water fountains everywhere, like three decks, three layers, outdoor seating for a cup of coffee or a sandwich. And I was sitting down. Patricia was having a conversation with somebody. They were talking about the Word of God. There was some instruction, words of knowledge going on. It was very good. Everything was good. I was just kind of sitting there hanging out. And in front of me was a big, massive glass. And all of a sudden, as I'm kind of looking into the glass, I see a reflection behind me of a white light. And in my dream, everything slowed down. And I centered in, looking through the reflection. I saw the light. And all of a sudden, people started fleeing. They were screaming in this outdoor mall. And I knew that there was an active shooter. And I stood up. And at that moment, the entire scene changed. And I saw the people. They were running. And I found myself in a circular place where there was no way out, nowhere to go. So I just stood. And then somewhere, as people were fleeing and the gunshots were coming much closer, and that's when I woke up. And that's when I said, no, I want to go back to sleep. I want to continue to dream. I want to see this. I went back to sleep. But now I'm in a totally different place. I'm in an airport. And there's some kind of an ice skating rink or swimming pool that was iced over something. I don't know what it was about. I'm in an airport, and all of a sudden, the gunfire began again. An active shooter or shooters came in the dream. And by this time, I woke up, and I was pretty well shaken because the dream was so real. And I've kept in my spirit all morning active shooters. Now, we just had an active shooter in California. And I want to be very fair about this. We had three people killed at a garlic festival. We had active shooters at Parkland, Florida High School, active shooters in Las Vegas, Nevada, an active shooter in the church in Texas where 26 people were killed. We had active shooters everywhere. We've seen them in malls. We've seen them in hospitals. We've seen them in military compounds. We've seen them in movie theaters. We've seen them in high schools. We've seen them everywhere, active shooter things. So it's not too far off, and this is the question that Patricia asked me. She said, do you think that all the things that we're watching, the things that we're studying, the things that we're seeing, you know, about this stuff is just getting into you? Do you need to back off, and do you need to, you know, kind of retreat and go have you know, a time in the forest somewhere where the sunlight is shining and the birds are chirping and you could come and read happy things? I was something like that. Are we going too deep into things? Are our minds being overwhelmed with things? And I deeply considered that, and I have considered that before, because I am not a preacher of the world news, and I'm not a preacher of my own imagination. My calling is to preach the Word of God. And that's why when I opened the Bible right after this whole thing, and I answered Patricia's question affirmatively when she said, are you going to share that on radio? I said, yes, I am. And I'm going to be cautious, and I'm going to be careful about what I share. But that's when I opened up to the locust plague was only the foretaste of the judgment. And then, of course, the other part of God's punishment is overwhelming, dreadful, unavoidable. And this whole Joel prophecy about the judgment that's been warned, and now it came. The people are devastated. The prophet comes to wake them up so that they'd be ashamed for what they did that caused the judgment. The response was prayer and fasting, come together, call a solemn assembly, and then to realize the unavoidable, dreadful day of the Lord would come. Chapter 2 is more about that, and it's a massive, massive invasion that comes upon the land. Now, when you look at this in a global sense or just a national sense, you know, you can look at this as America, the covenanted nation. And remember, in Joel, it said, let their children tell their children, and let their children tell their children, and let their children tell another generation. And obviously, when I saw that, I like, wow, Lord, you're telling this generation, we are that generation, and everything that Israel ever did to offend God, we, a Judeo-Christian nation, covenanted with Yahweh through his son, Yeshua, Jesus Christ, by the shedding of his blood, covenanted this land to God. And you know, you could covenant your land to God all you want. You can make a covenant with God, but if you start putting idols in that land and you start shedding innocent blood and you start offending God, I don't care what kind of covenant you're in, you're going to get whacked. You're going to get judgment. And that's the truth. Even with our own lives, you and I could have a covenant with God through Jesus Christ from now until eternity. But if we're going to sin and we're going to put idols in our heart and we're going to blaspheme God by our conduct and by our attitude, we too are going to suffer the righteous judgment of God. Now, back to the active shooter. I did a little research, and an active shooter is just a type of mass murder. Active shooter or active killer names the predator of a type of mass murderer marked by rapidity, scale, randomness, and often suicide. Now, Homeland Security, ready.gov, and other websites about active shooters, it's pretty well loaded with it, you know, give you these preparations, what to do if an active shooter, you know, gets involved in something. So, for example, here's what they'll tell you at ready.gov. And number one, they want you to make a plan for an active shooter. In other words, to begin to become aware of the possibility of being at a mall, being at an airport, being in a hospital, being at a school, being in a church, because it appears that these attacks come from every direction, whether you're in a synagogue or you're in New Zealand and you're at a mosque, or you're in a church, in a little Baptist church in Texas, the middle of our country, for goodness sake, or whether you're at school, or whether you're the Virginia Tech years ago and 30-some-odd people are shot and murdered. So whether at your university, et cetera, et cetera. In other words, awaken, not in fear, but to have some kind of a plan. Okay? And then they'll tell you in this outline here, look for the two nearest exits anywhere you go, have an escape path in mind, and identify places you could hide. In other words, before or exactly when you're entering into a place, be watchful. Do you think we as Christians need to do this? Well, we'll ask that question again in just a little bit. Now, during a active shooter scenario, they will tell you, run and escape if possible. Getting away from the shooter or shooters is the top priority. Number two, they'll tell you, leave your belongings behind and get away. Number three, help others escape if possible, but evacuate regardless of whether others agree to follow. Number four, warn and prevent individuals from entering an area where the active shooter may be. And number five, call 911 when you are safe and describe the shooter, the location, and the weapons. Okay, that's pretty self-explanatory. The second part of their instruction is hide. If escape is not possible, number one, get out of the shooter's view and stay very quiet. Number two, silence all electronic devices and make sure they won't vibrate. Number three, lock and block doors, close blinds, turn off lights. Number four, don't hide in groups. Spread out along walls or hide separately to make it more difficult for the shooter. Number five, try to communicate with police silently. Use text message or social media to tag your location or put a sign in a window. Number six, stay in place until law enforcement gives you the all clear. And number seven, your hiding place should be out of the shooter's view and provide protection if shots are fired in your direction. Now, again, in my dream last night, there was no place to hide for me. I was in a circular area and there was no way out. And the gunshots were coming closer. The next thing they'll tell you to do, so at that point, you better have a better strategy, like your heart be right with God. or a supernatural intervention, right? The next thing they tell you to do is fight as an absolute last resort. In other words, number one, commit to your actions and act as aggressively as possible against the shooter. Recruit others to ambush the shooter with makeshift weapons like chairs, fire extinguishers, scissors, books, etc. Now, that's what they did on 9/11 2001 in the airplane flying over Pennsylvania. They all got together and they attacked the folks that were there, and the plane went down. Everybody died. However, the plane did not crash into other buildings. Number three, they tell you about fighting. Be prepared to cause severe or lethal injury to the shooter. In other words, take them out. Number four, throw items and improvise weapons to distract and disarm the shooter. So obviously, these are instinctful things that you would do anyways, right? Now, in this ready.gov, they tell you the thing to do afterwards. Keep hands visible and empty. Know that law enforcement's first task is to end the incident, and they may have to pass injured along the way. So just keep yourself down out of the way. Officers may be armed with rifles, shotguns, and/or handguns, and may use pepper spray or tear gas to control the situation. Number four, officers will shout commands and may push individuals to the ground for their safety. Number six, follow law enforcement instructions and evacuate in the direction they come from unless otherwise instructed. Now, I could just imagine people right now going, man, why do I need to hear this? I didn't tune into the broadcast so to hear about this. I think maybe you may need to take heed to this. Don't be afraid. And I'm not telling you that what I'm reading to you is the most important information you could get. I'm just telling you, for somebody that has never thought about these things, maybe it's time to just learn a little bit about where you go. And we have a saying here that God gave to me a long time ago. Make sure you're in the right place at the right time, doing the right thing with the right people right now. And that is a life that is led by the Holy Spirit. These active shooter events are happening way too often, but you cannot live in fear, right? You can't be afraid or have your mind overactive with phobias that are ungodly when you go to the grocery store, right? But at the same time, to be prepared, to be aware, is your first line of defense. To be aware, to be prepared, is your first line of defense. Now, while you wait for first responders to arrive, provide first aid, apply direct pressure to wounded areas, and use tourniquets if you have been trained to do so. And if you haven't, you know, go online, learn how to do some stuff, right? Turn wounded people onto their sides if they are unconscious and keep them warm. And then finally, consider seeking professional help for you and your family to cope with the long-term effects of the trauma. Listen, we have a great counselor. He's the Holy Spirit. We don't need any psychologist or anybody else, the psychobabble of the world, to, you know, to straighten us out. The Holy Spirit could do that just fine, in my understanding of things. So again, there are things we can do to prepare ourselves. I would not normally come on the air and give this type of detailed information, but I believe it's important. I believe God is showing that the summer of violence that I think is all around us right now, we need to be aware. Now, you see, we live in a place in Northwest Arkansas where you would think it would be unthinkable, right? Well, when you go to University of Virginia Tech many years ago and the shooter comes in and kills 32 people, 33 people. Forgive me, I don't remember the number. I knew it was in the 30s. When you go to church in Texas and somebody walks into the church and kills 26 people. When you go to a concert in Las Vegas and 58 people are murdered. When you go to synagogue and someone's murdered. When you go to a garlic festival and someone's murdered. When you go to high school in Parkland, Florida, someone's murdered. Columbine, it all seemed to have begun. You go to the movie theater, someone's murdered. You go to synagogue, you go to the mosque, someone's murdered. And so everywhere, we live in a volatile world. You're running a marathon in Boston and a few crockpot bombs go off. You go to work on 9/11/2001 at the Twin Towers. The massive bomb goes off. Now, in the bigger cities that are extremely hostile and violent, like Chicago, New York, and many others, you're taking a risk. So you have to be in the right place at the right time, doing the right thing with the right people right now, because the Holy Spirit has given you an okay. But if you get checked in your spirit about going anywhere, but not operating in fear, and this is the key, how to separate being aware, being prepared, which is our first line of defense in any situation, and staying in the Holy Spirit. You know, I happen to believe, my pastor used to say it, a nuclear bomb could go off, and if we're walking in the Spirit, when the dust settles, we'll still be standing. I do not advocate living a life in fear. God condemns it. And, you know, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And I want to read that one more time to our listeners, just not to promote a spirit of fear, because we certainly do not want to do that. But I think God is beginning to reveal some things. In Psalm 91, he that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him will I trust. Surely he shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover you with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flies by day, nor for the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor for the destruction that wastes at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at your side, and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with your eyes shall thou behold and see the reward of the wicked, because you have made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, your habitation. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling, for he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep you in all your ways. Now, ladies and gentlemen, there's more to that Psalm 91, but that right there is the way that we must live our lives, that no matter where we go, even on the mission fields to Nigeria, we do not go in a spirit of fear. We go trusting in the wings and the feathers of the Lord, his angels taking care of us. I am not advocating fear, but I am promoting. I believe God wants me to tell you to wake up, to be aware and prepared, because we are living in a volatile world, and I have a sense we're going this summer into the next level of judgments. But Tricia, good morning. How are you today, dear lady?
I am doing well. Again, another day to get it right. Oh, body of Christ and folks that are listening, let's get it right. Let's truly understand the times we're in, and let us become part of that revolution of truth. It's the only way to go. There is no other way. There is no other answer in the times that we're in except Jesus Christ. And you had mentioned, Vincent, earlier about crying out to the nations, and the people are not hearing. They're not listening. They are turning a deaf ear. And this is the nature of those who have hard hearts and don't have a hard heart. Listen to the cry of the prophets. Listen to the cry of those watchmen on the wall. In 2 Corinthians 4:4, Paul describes their situation, that the God of this world, listen carefully, who does this? The God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelieving so that they might not see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. That is why people will not believe unless the Holy Spirit intervenes. We are intervening. We are crying out. We're wanting and desiring to tell them, be watchful and become aware of the times you're in.
And Patricia, here is the next verse out of Joel chapter 2 in verse 1. Blow the trumpet in Zion. Sound an alarm in my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord comes, for it is nigh at hand. Now, for you who are out there saying, Oh, we've heard this before. We've heard these alarms before. We've heard these blowing trumpets before. Well, let me give you a little bit of wisdom. Every single fire alarm system or any other earthquake preparedness or any time you prepare for anything, there are many times that there will be surprise events. Remember going to school and the fire alarm would go off and everybody would go out? Nobody expected it. Why is that? They test the system. God has been testing the system, his system, within his people, that when you hear the cry, when you hear the prophetic unction telling you something's wrong, get ready, well, we need to see how we respond in our hearts. If we ever get to the place that Patricia just said, oh, I've heard that before, and we harden our hearts to this call, blow the trumpet in Zion, sound the alarm in my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord comes, for it is nigh at hand. Ladies and gentlemen, we are blowing the trumpet again. The Spirit of God is telling us to do it. Your response to what you're hearing may cost you your life on this earth and in eternity. If your heart is not right before God, it could cost you everything.
Yes, amen to that. It is also true that if you truly are walking the walk that God has called you to, if you truly believe that Jesus Christ will be your answer for these last days, you will be led and guided by the Holy Spirit, as Pastor Vincent had already spoken to you about. God's hand is at work today. It is obvious to those of us who will look and are willing to recognize what they see. But the unbelievers suppress the truth and in unrighteousness and deliberately overlook the obvious evidence as they pursue their own desires. These scriptures that I have just been talking to you about are in Romans 1:18, also in 2 Peter 3:5. You know, the Lord speaks through his word. He brings the understanding that we must have through his word. He was speaking of these days in Matthew 24 in the scriptures I just brought to you. And you see, there is a people who will refuse to listen to the truth. Their eyes will not see, their ears will not hear, because they don't want to. They love the evil. They love being in the darkness. They feel that every need will be met. They believe that if they go the way of untruth, the way of darkness, the way of subtle deception, that nothing is going to be taken from them, and they could do whatever they desire to do, whatever their minds could conjure in this evil time in which we're in, and they love it. They don't love the truth. They love the deception, because they can act as disgusting as they want to.
Patricia, we are, I want to read this out of the Wikipedia definition of an active shooter, because I want to just mull this over a little bit, because what you're saying, what the Spirit of God is saying this morning to whoever's listening, it may save our lives, not only in this world, but in the world to come, because we're at peace with God and all of these things. But listen, in my dreams, there were two very specific things. Number one, I was in a church. Everybody was having a great time. Afterwards, everybody's out in this massive mall area, shopping, sunny day, just, it was summertime. I could tell by the way people were dressed, it was summertime. But listen to this now. And then the other one was at a airport where people are just traveling to and fro. Active shooter or active killer names the perpetrator of a type of mass murder marked by rapidity, scale, randomness, and often suicide. The United States Department of Homeland Security defines an active shooter as an individual actively engaged in killing or attempting to kill people in a confined and populated area. In most cases, active shooters use firearms, and there is no pattern or method to their selection of victims. Most incidents, here's where I want to get to, occur at locations in which the killers find little impediment in pressing their attack. Locations are generally described as soft targets. That is, they carry limited security measures to protect members of the public. In most instances, shooters commit suicide, are shot by police, or surrender when confrontation with responding law enforcement becomes unavoidable. And active shooter events are often over in 10 to 15 minutes. According to New York City Police Department statistics, 46% of active shooter incidents are ended by the application of force by police or security. 40% end in the shooter's suicide. 14% of the time, the shooter surrenders, and is less than 1% of cases, the violence ends with the attacker fleeing. So, Patricia, life can change. You can go from church to the mall in 10 to 15 minutes, and then you could be going about your business at an airport, and life could change. Go ahead.
Anytime, any place, something new and incredible in evil or good can happen. And so what we want to look at is this generation that we're in right now that is presently alive on the earth. While Jesus is not physically present performing the miracles that we know he has before, we have what the Apostle Peter called the prophetic word made more sure. What we are speaking to you of right now is that prophetic word, and it's going to be made more sure. You're going to see signs that have been expressed from this radio program beginning, and it's going to increase. And Jesus tells them that they would not get the sign they were seeking, but they would get a sign that they were not seeking. And that's called the sign of Jonah. And I tell you, body of Christ, and those who are listening, you are hearing about the signs that are taking place. Some have already started. More are coming. We are trying to get you prepared for the times that we are in, spiritually, mentally, and physically. We desire to be a remnant people on earth that will go through, sail through these times by a protective spirit of Christ. And we know it is possible, but we must rise above the circumstances.
You know, people are living their lives at a fast rate and things are moving on, but you could see where life could change in 10 to 15 minutes or sooner. We have a couple of calls coming in. If you're listening to the Watchman broadcast right now, if you want to share any thoughts or comments, make any comments, the number to call is 818-369-0326. That's 818-369-0326. And make sure you press 1 on your dial pad, and we'll bring you right into the broadcast. Let's take our first call this morning. Coming in from area code 605-695. Welcome to the broadcast. You're on the air.
Good morning. Yes, I have a comment to make. When you brought out earlier in the book of Joel, in the 10th verse, it said, "The field is wasted, the land mourneth, for the corn is wasted, the new wine is dried up, and the oil languisheth." Yesterday, I was driving. Now, I want to make a comment. We live in South Dakota, and it is a very rural area we live in. And I want to tell you, the crops here in this particular state, the farmers could not put the corn in. They raise soybeans and corn and wheat. It is not in the ground. The weather was so adverse, they did not put it in. 60% in a county that is very close to us, the farmers put nothing in. It was so barren looking. I looked as I'm driving, and the Lord says, the famine has started. So you talked about the judgment that will come upon the land, and it's gradually happening right now. And then with all these active shooters that are out there, we have a son that is in law enforcement. And one of the other things that they were trained while he was in training years ago, and he's still in the law enforcement, but they said, when you go in a restaurant, don't ever sit with your back, against the door that people are coming in. Always watch, be watchful. And I think this watchfulness that God is talking about, which you brought out in the book of Joel about Zion, should be watchful. Now, my question is this. Now, when Zion is mentioned in the Bible, isn't that to God's people?
It should be, absolutely. Yes, that's my understanding. And there is a Zion, which representing the people of God in Hebrews 12, we've come to Mount Zion, the city of the living God. So it has every connection to God's people. But I do believe there's a spiritual connection there to what Zion is today. I don't think it's the natural Zion that's the primary thing. I think, believe the primary focus is the Zion of the Lord, like the new Jerusalem that is above. But I think you made some very valid points, and I want to appreciate and thank you for calling in and sharing those points. They're very important. We have another call coming in that maybe will answer a few more questions. Our friend Bill is out there today on the road. Good morning, Bill. How are you today?
Doing well. You guys doing well, I hope?
Yep, doing very good. Thank you.
Well, I think what you've been preaching today is situational awareness. And the question is, how do you have situational awareness? Well, the answer to that question is called discernment of the Holy Spirit. In John 16:13, it says, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide and direct you into all truth. He'll not speak on his own, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will declare to you things that are to come. As the lady in South Dakota said, when you go into a restaurant, not because of fear, but because of discernment of the Holy Spirit, you sit in the corner and you watch what's going on. You observe. But if you go to a place that you've never been before, you find a place that you're going to sit, and then you get up and you go into the restroom. Does the restroom have windows that you can evacuate if you need to? If not, you peek into the kitchen. Does the kitchen have a back door you can get out of if you need to? You try, and that's not because of fear, but it is because of the environment which we live in today. When I grew up, we never locked our house. We'd go to church or go on vacation. We never locked our house. Now, you don't park your car outside of a 7-Eleven without locking it. It's a different environment. Evil is perpetuated more and more. The enemy knows his time is short. Evil does what evil does, and it's going to continue to get worse. So unless you have the discernment of the Holy Spirit, which only comes by accepting Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and asking for the infilling of the Holy Spirit, you're going to miss it. You got to have that discernment. You got to understand, but you don't do it with fear.
Excellent. Well said. And that is the truth. And again, it's with any other situation that goes on in our life, you know, we say the what ifs, you know, they go through different scenarios of how things work. And by building on scenarios, people basically come up with manuals of what to do in the event of this happening or that happening. And we've got to begin to understand that we're living in such a volatile world that just say 100 terrorists, you know, work in tandem with two each, and there are 50 different places, soft targets, that get hit on the very same day or within 3 days. You have 50 soft targets that are getting hit. What is that going to do to our nation? We get the Fox News alert or the CNN News alert, breaking news, 3 people in a garlic festival. Well, what happens when we begin to see all of them happening at the same time? What's it going to do to the country? Most likely going to bring panic, and only God knows what the biggie would be beyond that. Patricia, your thoughts?
Well, many people have heard this, but we have to continue to tell the truth. And we are living in the wickedest time of all history, bar none. As evidence of this, we are told to look around and witness the wars, the rumors of wars, man's inhumanity to man, the high divorce rate, abortions and crime, and many other things. And preachers also cite the Bible as evidence. And this is what we do. We cite the Bible as evidence. For Jesus said, but as in the days of Noah, where so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. But what does that mean? The idea here is that the people at the time of Noah were so wicked, they had to be destroyed. So if the last days are like that, then the people today must be pretty bad also. And on the other hand, the scripture referred to does not talk about the wickedness of the people, but the fact that the people were caught off guard by the flood because they would not listen. Even so, will the people not be prepared for the coming of the Lord? They're going to be marrying, they're going to be involved in buying and selling with the mark of the beast, I may add, and they're not going to be aware of the times they're in, and it's right here, folks. It's right at the door. The door has already begun to open. We're walking right into it. Where are you going to be in this state, spiritually, mentally, and physically? This is the cry of our heart for you and for us.
We just don't know who is walking around us. You know, a lot of times they say that I'm looking at this, the account of why mass murder, why active shooters? And some people contend that the motive, at least proximately, is vengeance. Others argue that bullying breeds the problem. And sometimes the active shooter is a victim of bullying directly or derivatively. Still others, such as some people that actually commit these crimes, argue that the pervasiveness of violent imagery girding modern culture hosts the phenomena. But you know what I've noticed, Patricia, that they're not talking about?
What?
Is how many of the active shooters have been on some kind of pharmaceutical drug. And there are stories after stories after stories of psychological influences in people's minds. You see a lot of these people after they've gone through the killing spree of the drug epidemic in their mind. But what's behind that? Demonic spirit influencing ultimately this whole thing.
Absolutely. And using individuals. I believe these acts are assigned. I do not believe that somebody just sat down and said, I think I'm going to go out and kill people. Remember that the media is absolutely entrenched with everything every individual has written down online and on Facebook and other media progressives. And understand that they're being watched in their attitudes and ways. And there are assignments starting to be given to certain individuals that they may be great if they do some of these things that we have seen, and that is go out and start shooting people. They're normally white now in these days, at least in this country, and they're normally assigned because the usage of drugs, they would know that. Those that are watching on media would know whether or not they are taking drugs just by their lingo. And so they are being watched. They're being taken in certain directions so that, number one, they could have the upheaval of dividing this country and bringing judgment and destruction to it. And secondly, so that they can be used even in a greater capacity as time goes on to bring forth the one world order. Because out of chaos, the one world order will bring order.
Its own utopian order, sure. And then we get back to Joel chapter 2, Patricia, with what you just shared. And Joel chapter 2, verse 2. And I want us to consider maybe just in a microcosm idea what God is saying about this moment upon our nation, within our states, within our cities, within our townships. It says, the day of the Lord is a day of darkness and of gloominess, a day of clouds and of thick darkness. As the morning spread upon the mountains, a great people and a strong, there has not been ever the like, neither shall be any more after it, even to the years of many generations. A fire devours before them. Behind them a flame burns. The land is as the Garden of Eden before them, and behind them a desolate wilderness, and nothing shall escape them. Now, that can be found in Revelation chapter 9 about the locust invasion, the demonic spirit that come out of the pit of Revelation chapter 9. That's right alongside of this. In verse 4 says, the appearance of them is as the appearance of horses, and as horsemen shall they run. That is your Revelation 9. Study that out. Like the noise of chariots on the tops of mountains shall they leap, like the noise of a flame of fire that devours the stubble, as a strong people set in battle array. That is not the godly army of the Lord. That is the army of the Lord in the realm of the caterpillar, the cankerworm, the palmer worm. This is not a good army. This is, and again, in the microcosm of thought, a release of a people group within a particular society that begin to move and bring forth a tremendous amount of damage. And what is the result in verse 6? Before their face, the people shall be much pained. And that's what I saw in the vision, people fleeing for their lives. We saw people much pained on 9/11/2001. All faces shall gather blackness. The people that were once laughing in the church are now running for their lives in terror and fear. They shall run like mighty men, this army that's coming to bring judgment upon the land. They shall climb the wall like men of war. They shall march everyone on his ways, and they shall not break their ranks. Do you not believe that the nation of Islam is preparing for the next great attack? Do you not understand that there will be a terror movement that will make 9/11 look like a preview? Ladies and gentlemen, we cannot afford to be ignorant of what is going on. We do need, as our brother told us, that discernment. That's, Patricia, what we were talking about last night at the Bible study, the need for discernment, the judicial ability to bring a proper estimate to what's going on around us. And this army that's coming, this judgment that's coming, people need to be aware of it.
Amen. You know, we have to ask ourselves this question. How well do we really see? Do we value the things of God, or are we still blinded by sin, self, and Satan? Do we clearly, through the corrective lens of Scripture, pursue your own will in your own way for your own benefit? Jesus is warning us, folks. Jesus is warning us the seriousness of the times that we're in and the consequences thereof. And so you are either with him in his kingdom or you are against him in Satan's kingdom. There is no in between. There is no settling on the fence. You're either lukewarm or you're don't be lukewarm is what I mean to say, or hot or cold. Be hot and not cold. If you are walking with the Lord by the light of his word, then praise him and help others to do the same. This is what we're trying to accomplish. If you recognize that you are in the darkness by hearing this, then it is time to get help so that you can see the light. Do it today. The time is at hand. Body of Christ, it's now.
Amen. And the final words out of Joel for today will be in verse 8 through 11. Neither shall one thrust another. This is the coming, the approaching judgment upon the land. They shall walk everyone in his path, and when they fall upon the sword, they shall not be wounded. It's almost like a supernatural army, isn't it? And their plans are going to be perfect. There's nothing going to be restraining them. Verse 9, they shall run to and fro in the city. They shall climb up upon the houses. They shall enter in at the windows like a thief. The earth, here's your Revelation chapter 6 again. The earth shall quake before them. The heavens shall tremble. The sun and the moon and the shall be dark. The stars shall withdraw their shining. The Lord shall utter his voice before his army, for his camp is very great, for he is strong that executes his word. For the day of the Lord is great and very terrible, and who can abide it? But now, as we go out, remember Psalm 91. We're not promoting fear. You're going to have a blessed weekend, Shabbat Shalom, a little Sabbath rest tonight, gathering together with the saints. But be on the watch. Be careful. Be understanding of what time it is as you go. Learn to develop a sense. Take the gift that God has given you of discernment and practice it. Use it where you go, but don't be paranoid, suspicious, or afraid. But walk in the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit, and move in that direction. Now, right now, at omegaradio.org, There's a mass. This one is super important. This is a roundtable discussion about prospering in the day of famine. I'm going to invite you to go there. But before you go, would you consider, as we're on August 1st, sending a donation to this Omega Radio? Thank you for thinking about us. You could do it online by just going to our website at omegaradio.org and just sending a little blessing. We would certainly appreciate it. Until we see you Monday morning, this is Pastor Vincent Xavier saying goodbye. God bless everybody. Get to Omega Radio right now. Shalom.